This is Ryan Johnson, speaking to Mr. Bill Veeder, former Charlotte City Manager, on this beautiful morning of April 23rd. And Mr. Veeder, could you tell me a little bit about your background? Where did you grow up?
Well, I grew up in upstate New York, Amsterdam, New York.
No kidding. I grew up in Cortland, New York.
North of where I was.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I stayed there until I went to college, and then the war came along, and I never really did, never went back to Amsterdam.
Mm-hmm. Did you participate in the war?
Oh, yeah. I was in the Army.
Okay. Which theater did you serve?
In Burma and India, mostly in India.
I see. Okay. When you got back from the war, did you attend college before or after the war?
No, I had to go back and finish up at school. I interrupted my period at Colgate.
Okay.
So I went back after the war and finished up.
And when did you graduate, sir?
45? 46, I guess.
And what did you primarily study?
Political science.
What made you interested in politics and political science?
I'm not sure I can answer that, except that to tell you that I'd had that in the back of my head when I was pretty young. I just liked the fool with government. I had a lot of respect for some folks in government, and it kind of stuck with me.
Mm-hmm. And when did you move to Charlotte? When did you come down here?
Well, I went to Chicago first to work for an organization that dealt with personnel policies and government. And from there I went to Fort Lauderdale, Florida as personnel director of the city. The city manager in Fort Lauderdale, and then the opportunity came to move to Charlotte, and I took it, and good decision.
Mm-hmm.
Stayed there for about, I don't know, 10, 11 years, I guess, something like that.
I see. And when I was going over what Jason spoke to Don Bryant, and he had spoke very highly of you. Can you tell me a little bit about him and how he helped you come to Charlotte?
Have anything to do with it. He was on the council then.
Okay. Can you tell me what sort of people brought you to Charlotte? Who contacted you?
Well, it wasn't a question of being contacted, it was a question of applying.
Mm-hmm.
I applied when the opening occurred and came to Charlotte, was interviewed by the then mayor and members of the city council, and fortunate enough to be offered the job, and I took it.
Mm-hmm.
Don Bryant wasn't on the council then. They had a big change in city council shortly after that, or just before that, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And brought in a lot of new blood on the city council. They were good.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of businessmen that knew how to deal with big numbers and understood management, and it's good to work with them, really.
Right. Did you understand, when did you first hear about the Urban Renewal Project in Charlotte? Did you know about it before you applied to the city?
No, I don't think so. I may have, but I don't think so.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you any date. It's going back several decades, and I just, I can't define exactly when it started.
Right. Were you excited when you heard about the move? I mean, I could imagine it would be very exciting moving to a big city.
The need was obvious, and the federal government recognized the need, and if you applied and had a good application, you could, and some help from your congressman, you could participate, and we did, mainly, I guess, with the efforts of of the then mayor, Stan Brookshire.
Did you have any sort of relationship with him?
Oh yeah, he was a joy to work with. Very, very personable,
mm-hmm.
likable, understanding, wanting to get things done. He was a good mayor.
Mm-hmm.
Very good mayor. I'd rate him probably the top person in government that got this thing started.
Really?
Yeah. Our congressman, I'm trying to, what the devil was his name? I can't recall his name,
mm-hmm.
but he was, and I'm embarrassed not being able to recall his name because I thought the world of that man, since deceased, of course, but sure, a good relationship with him, and through his position in Congress, was a big help in getting the resources to move ahead with the Brooklyn Project.
Uh-huh.
And I'd give Brookshire the credit for getting that started.
Right. Had you seen the Brooklyn neighborhood? I assume, did you go into the neighborhood and inspect things?
You couldn't miss it. I just looked out my office window in the city hall, and there it was. Nothing to write home about, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
It was a mess in a lot of ways. It had a real unusual mixture, I think. The people that lived there were quite varied. There was delightful people and nice people and hardworking people that lived there, and there was some that weren't so nice also that got into trouble quite often.
Mm-hmm.
It was principally, almost, I guess, exclusively a black neighborhood.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall any contact with any white people that lived there. There may have been some that I'm just not aware of.
Now, was it the Charlotte City Council that voted for the Urban Renewal Project?
Oh, yeah.
And Brooklyn was the first neighborhood?
Yeah, the principal neighborhood. It was the principal neighborhood for a good number of years, actually. The thing just didn't materialize overnight. It took a good period of time. I can't recall how many years it took to organize it, start it, and operate it, and then finish it.
Do you think money was the biggest factor for the project, funding the project? Was that the biggest problem? What was the biggest problem that they faced?
Money obviously was very important because everything was done there was expensive. They had to buy all the property, and that just didn't come easy.
Mm-hmm.
And it certainly was a big role, but I wouldn't say it was the only factor.
Mm-hmm.
People, when they became involved, they just moved ahead in the redevelopment. Commission obviously had a big hand in it, and they were good folks who worked hard to get things going and to make judgments as it went along. And the director of that, give him a lot of credit for what was accomplished. He was just plain good. Jason told me that I think he's already talked to him, or somebody's talked to him.
Spoken to Mr. Bryant, Mr. John Thrower. He's also spoken, I believe he spoke a little bit to Mr. Alexander. Other than that, yes.
Well, he'd have had a hard time doing that.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He passed away?
Yeah.
Okay, maybe perhaps I misread it on his sheet. Right. How were the Brooklyn folks notified? We've read that there were pamphlets and letters sent out.
Well, I'm sure that word of mouth and newspaper coverage had something to do with it. And
mm-hmm.
I know an effort was made to contact each resident down there on an individual basis, either by mail or in person or some way. That wasn't overlooked. It was it was done in a variety of ways. I wouldn't say it was just one way.
Uh-huh.
But I couldn't even tell you how many people lived there. My memory on all this is pretty, it's fairly vague on a lot of issues. So
uh-huh.
If I sound stupid, it's because I just...
What do you suppose, do you remember any of the citizens speaking out against the project from Brooklyn? Or did they just feel that this is the right thing to do?
Well, I'm sure that a project of this magnitude, there had to be questions about it. I'm sure there was. I can't recall any specific ones, but I know issues came up while the thing was in process that would suggest that some people had some serious reservations about it, and that was understandable. If you're tearing up my home and making me move, I'm apt to be unhappy about it regardless of
uh-huh.
the type of place I live in.
Uh-huh.
And I know there was some of that, but efforts were made to help everybody there that lived there and they had to move to help them find another place to live.
Right. When we're going back and looking over the project itself, it seemed that the poorest areas were the ones that were removed last. Was that because the city wanted to give the folks a good chance to move out and find a new place?
Well, I expect that had something to do with it. It probably wasn't the only factor, but certainly I know everybody involved from the city's viewpoint did their best to try to accommodate the needs of the folks who were going to be moved. That we held up and kept the folks that needed to move the worst to last,
mm-hmm.
give them all the time in the world to do what they wanted to do. And a lot of these folks, in many respects, uneducated folks didn't understand all the things that you were trying to do. But they stuck with it, and in due course, it was possible to do everything. But just like if somebody came to you today and said, "Hey, Clyde, you've got to move."
Yeah.
I said, "Why?" You said, "Where the hell am I going to go?"
Right.
And that's just a natural human reaction.
Did the city of Charlotte, do you remember if they tried to put any sort of housing assistance together for the people?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure. Don't ask me to define it, but I know there was some strong efforts to do that. There were quite a few people involved in finding places and actually building places in some cases.
Mm-hmm. And what was the main reason for the entire renewal project? Was it so that the land could be used that was right uptown, or was it to sort of move the poverty out, or was it both? What was sort of the drive behind the project?
Well, that's a fair question. It's kind of a basic question.
Mm-hmm.
To see the area the way it was it didn't reflect well on anybody. The people that lived there, the neighbors, the location, the community as a whole,
mm-hmm.
it was just pretty poor, and poor in the sense of being pretty sorry.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody that saw the area would have to say, "My Lord, how do we have to put up with this? Can we do something to change it?" And
mm-hmm.
the redevelopment project was the process of changing it. There was no question about what it needed. It was an area that didn't reflect credit on anybody, the people that lived there, the city as a whole, or the reputation of the city, it was just a mess.
Hmm. Now, how do you remember how the city acquired the land? Did they use eminent domain?
Had to in a lot of cases.
Okay.
A lot didn't, in others, most cases didn't have to.
Okay, really, most cases they gave it freely?
Yeah, but I suspect, I don't know this, but in retrospect, I don't know, and maybe I did at the time, but in retrospect, I suspect that a large portion of the residents there probably were rental renters, they weren't owners.
Mm-hmm.
We were probably dealing with owners that maybe didn't have anything to do with their living there.
So you dealt mostly with the landlords?
Well, the owners, whoever the
right.
owners were. We had to. We were going to acquire the property. We couldn't deal with the renters, but we could help the renters try to find somewhere else to live.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of the names of the developers who were contracted for the project?
No.
Right. Okay. Do you happen to know where any of the folks went from Brooklyn? Did they move to the outskirts of the city or to a different area?
Moved to the. I know there was a fair number that moved out. Development fairly near the airport, not too near, but fairly near the airport. So the street is right in my tongue, but I can't recall it. The areas that were predominantly black on the western side of town, but they stayed together in a good fashion, I guess, some of them, because I think that's one of the things that may not have worked as smooth as it should have. If it pitched close together,
mm-hmm.
moved and could continue to live close together, I think it would have been more important. If it were done today, I think we'd probably try to do it that way. Do more to keep it together.
Right. Were there any...
Nobody wanted around.
Yeah. Were there any efforts to use housing codes to maybe to clean up the slum neighborhoods, to, you know, put facades up or some sort of beautification? Was that idea ever passed around?
In Brooklyn?
Yes.
Well, I'm sure it was discussed, but if you just looked around and you'd say, my Lord, that's impossible, it's gone too far.
Is it just that the buildings were really run down? And
yeah, it was just,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure you could have fixed up some of the buildings. Some of the folks did on their own, but the net result was still not adequate for anybody
mm-hmm.
to live there.
Were the homes and a lot of the buildings just structurally unsound and very unsafe, and it just had to go? It was
some of them had to be that way, no question about mm-hmm. it. They'd let go for years and decades, really. It was a mess. The structure was lacking.
Mm-hmm.
The streets were not much to talk about, and kind of poorly laid out.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that time there was a rainstorm that... it caused problems there. The whole thing just needed to be done over. There wasn't anything you could patch up adequately to satisfy anybody, I don't think.
Mm-hmm. Jason spoke to me about a gentleman named Avery Hood, and he had mentioned that he's the people who served with him on the committee that assessed the needs of Brooklynites. Before the relocation. Do you remember Avery Hood? Can you tell me a little bit about him?
No, but the name sounds a little bit familiar.
Mm-hmm.
I can't tell you.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Time has erased that from my...
That's right. Don Bryant had mentioned that you had actually physically gone into the Brooklyn neighborhood and spoken with the people. Do you remember any of that? Or?
Oh, yeah.
And what did the people tell you? What would you talk about?
Talk about the process of change, I'm sure,
mm-hmm.
in a fashion that was useful to them. And I guess to know that it was done, we're not doing it to bring problems for them, we're doing it for the good of the city, including them.
Mm-hmm.
I had a fair number of personal contacts walking around and talking to folks.
Mm-hmm.
Just to let them know that we weren't forgetting the individuals. We're trying to change the area at the same time we don't turn it, make it more difficult for the individuals, although I'm sure in some cases we did because they couldn't find where they wanted a place to live adequate for themselves.
Do you think most of the people understood? Or they seemed to understand when you spoke to them?
I think so.
Yeah.
But, I'm not sure that if I were in their position, I'd probably have a question mark in my mind. Somebody came talking to me about moving me out, and I've lived there my lifetime, and I'd probably think twice about wanting to agree with them.
Mm-hmm.
I expect you would, too.
Did you have any contact with Vernon Sawyer?
Oh, yeah.
And can you tell me a little bit about him?
Well, he was the operating guy that deserves a great deal of the credit for the end product.
Mm-hmm.
He worked day and night on any and every aspect of the project to make it work. And Vernon was... He just kept going and kept going. And somebody had to do it, and he was the right guy in the right job.
Mm-hmm.
And I give him a lion's share of the credit for accomplishing what was accomplished. I think he and Brookshire I can't recall his name.
Did you ever meet with all of them at once and discuss the project? All of with Mr. Sawyer and Mr. Brookshire on the project? Okay. Mm-hmm. How long do you suppose the project it took? Several years?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And, there was another aspect to it also, and that was working out the plans for what the land was going to be used for after it was available.
Were you still a city manager when those plans were being made up?
School board got it for their new administration building where the park was laid out, where the county got some room for an office building.
Mm-hmm.
That was right across the street from them.
Now, were those decisions made by the city council as a whole during meetings and that sort of thing, or would folks come in and propose ideas from the outside?
Well, probably some of both, but anything that was proposed in terms of the zoning, for instance, or
mm-hmm.
the government facilities that were going to go in there, the city council had a voice in it.
Mm-hmm.
No question about that.
And do you remember how long you were the city manager?
Yeah, about 12 years.
11, 12 years. So were you able to see the entire project until, you know, you saw they're doing some things, but did you see from the point when they started the urban renewal to the end product when the government buildings were up? And
well, yeah, most of the work was done then because I was there until 71 or 72.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, there's still some things probably that were under construction there. I know that for instance, the new city hall came later. They did not act quickly to make other use of the land. They used some pretty good judgment.
Mm-hmm.
Something good came along.
I see.
But the bulk of the land ended up in government facilities, the park, and I'm trying to think what else was in there, and I
mm-hmm.
can't for the life of me bring it back.
So was most of the land all the land was either sold to private developers or to the city of Charlotte from Brooklyn?
Charlotte, the county.
Oh, okay.
Involved, the school board was involved, he was involved in something. I'm trying to, if I can recall exactly who else was in there, but I know there was because there was that much land. I'd have to through it, just pick out the new building.
Mm-hmm. As the city manager, how how did you, what was your role when it came to city council and interacting with the mayor? Were you an adjutant, were you an advisor, or were you the authorization of the project?
Well, I generally express my opinion on the mayor's recommendations to the council on what to do on issues that came up, but this probably would originate with the Redevelopment Commission of Brian Sawyer. But I had a hand in going over their recommendations, probably discussing them with the mayor, and making predictions to the city council on what, in my view, was perhaps the right thing to do. But in most cases, Vernon Sawyer was right on top of what needed to be done and did a very good job of presenting it to us.
Did you have any interaction? Can you tell me a little bit about the city council members? For example, John Thrower, do you remember him at all?
Yeah.
And can you tell me a little bit about him? Was he, you know, what was he like? What was his personality?
Different. he was different, but he had his own way of thinking through some things. He tried real hard to be useful.
Did everyone contribute to the project? Was it a full effort from everyone, or was there anyone on city council that sort of played devil's advocate on the project?
I don't think there's any single individual that during the course of the decision making process, which literally involved probably hundreds of decisions, probably every city council member had different views on some decisions that were made. But that's where you got a city council.
Do you think everyone was satisfied with the project?
City council?
Yes.
Oh, that's the end product. Pretty much approved by all of them. If it wasn't, I've forgotten.
Were you satisfied with the end result?
Oh, yeah. Probably if you always learn from experience, but I probably would have wanted to do a better job of relocating some of the residents. For the time, in those times, I think it was a pretty good job, but in retrospect, I think it could have been better.
Do you think it was, how do you think it could have been improved? I mean, what were some of the things that could have been done?
Well, I think probably more could have been done to provide good housing for those that were being relocated, and perhaps better effort could have been made to provide an area where they, a lot of them could relocate close to one another, because there was some relationships there that come from people living alongside each other for years, and all of a sudden they're miles apart. That's not good. I think some things could have been done, probably, or I like to think some things could have been done to provide more opportunities for some of the residents to live close together, because I think they, just like any neighborhood, they had their own folk ways and mores of doing things, and they like to do things together. And their churches in particular, I think, would have been something that could have been worked around them.
Right. In fact, one of them was preserved, the AMU Zion Church.
Yeah.
It was placed in First Ward. Were you involved in the other renewal projects in the other wards as well?
Only if the city was involved.
Okay.
Yeah.
I see.
If the city was involved, I guess I had my oar in the water.
After you left Charlotte City Council, where did you go?
To help build Carowinds.
Carowinds.
the first owner of Carowinds, a friend of mine, he asked me to come join him to help build it. I was executive vice president there until we sold it.
Did you still advise the city of Charlotte in their city projects on the side, or?
No, not really.
He just left the city government.
Yeah, but the next job I had was president of the Chamber of Commerce, and there I had a chance to get an OR in on city activities.
Mm-hmm. Did you enjoy that job?
Yeah, up to a point.
Mm-hmm.
I believe that I've been there long enough.
Mm-hmm. Did you keep contact with the gentleman you worked with, the city council and guys like that during your professional career when you were outside of city manager?
Oh, quite a few of them, sure.
Mm-hmm.
I thoroughly enjoyed working with them, and to this day I enjoy their company. I don't see them very often because I haven't lived in Charlotte now for, gosh, I don't know how long.
Mm-hmm.
15, 18 years, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But,
how often do you come back to Charlotte, or do you come back to Charlotte at all?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I've got a daughter and a grandson down.
Okay.
I get there. And, every time, but quite frequently, I like everybody else. In North Carolina, if I want to go somewhere by air, I quite often have to change in Charlotte.
Uh-huh. Outstanding. Well, Mr. Veer, I sincerely appreciate your time. Oh, no, I disagree.
But I think overall it was a...